Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo-woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. My name is Ty Hildenbrandt. Joining me, as always, over there in sunny, still summery New York City, my man, the one, the only Dan Rubenstein. Sir, how are you?
You know how I like signs, Ty? You know how I like to look for signs that it's going to be a great show or, oh, we might be in trouble? Something from above. The universe telling me something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'm dragging a little bit on the way home to record the show. And I'm thinking, you know what? A burst of sugar would be great. Nothing too intense, but we're talking about the Big 12. We're talking about a high-octane conference. And I don't want to stop in and get some candy. I don't want M&Ms or Skittles or something like that. I don't need a lot of sugar. So when I do, I want something good. And I'm walking down the street and all of a sudden, three little kids have set up a stand with Rice Krispie treats and brownies. And I just felt like the universe was smiling down, not just on me and my, what breaks down sugar in the body, pancreas?
Sure.
I don't know.
Okay.
But also the Big 12 preview that we have so many teams looking for a jolt of energy. All of this segue is coming together on the fly.
This is all kinds of cheese balls right here. Continue.
Thank you. But the universe sent me a delicious corner piece of a brownie. And I feel like we're on borrowed time here. We're doing great. So,
a delicious corner piece of a brownie.
Yes.
Right into the Big 12 preview.
Are you generally in favor of like a corner lasagna, corner brownie,
I'm
corner
fine with, no problem
pan
with
pizza?
No problem with corners, no.
But first choice?
Probably not first choice, no.
Whoa, interesting.
Probably not first choice.
I just assumed that was everybody's first choice.
Nope. You are one in a million, Dan Rubenstein.
Crunch factor high for me. Okay, so crunch factor high for the Big 12. This is preview number two. But before we get into it, Ty, I have a feeling you're going to touch on some housekeeping.
I am going to touch on some housekeeping. Thank you for the setup, Iceman. I appreciate it. SolidVerbalTickets.com/Texas. If you want to buy tickets to our live show in Dallas or North Texas, if you want to get particular, that show is on August the 17th at Alamo Draft House, 8 p.m. Central. Some tickets still available. Please do buy them. You're running out of time. If you're interested, tell friends. You know the drill. We're going to do our fantasy things. We started putting that show together ever so slowly, but coming together very, very nicely. We are excited. And don't fret if you can't be in the Dallas/North Texas/Fort Worth area on August 17th, because thanks to the marvel of modern air travel, Daniel, you and I will be hopping on a bird the very next morning, flying cross country to the nation's capital, August the 18th. It's a Sunday night. It's at Union Stage. It's along the water in D.C.
Oh, yeah.
7:30 p.m. Eastern time. We will be doing another Fantasy Things show. Not the same show. There might be some crossover, some overlap. But by and
large, there will be a Nate Stanley dedicated segment on each
show. I think that goes without saying.
Yeah.
But by and large, two different shows. If you want to get tickets to that DC show, solidverbaltickets.com/DC.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to send out another emailer. You're probably sick of getting them from us by now, but solidverbaltickets.com/Texas, solidverbaltickets.com/DC. The show weekend is going to be nuts for you and I. It's coming up very quickly, a little quicker than I'm comfortable with, but that's fine. We'll make it happen. Please do get on out there, or you can go to our website, solidverbal.com. The link is at the very top of the page.
I like that hour, and I guess more of my brand is strong enough that I tweeted somebody that is a taco expert in Dallas about where to go, and then other people saw it, and then we got emails. I like that people are looking at me like I am, like I have a problem, like I'm some sort of addict, and we have all these pushers, like, what are you looking for? Some lengua? You looking for some pastor? We want a taste of that asada? I can get you going. So we are very excited. We're going to work both our minds and bodies ragged to give you two excellent shows in the Dallas area and DC, and couldn't be more excited. And I think we're stapling on like a slight, not a bonus show. We're stapling on a little surprise that we'll reveal close, I guess, next week. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I think I do know what you mean. Yeah.
Okay.
2 weeks it's going to be, right?
2 weeks. So next week, we can tease out the little a bonus hang kind of thing.
Bonus hang. I like that. It's a good way to phrase it.
Okay.
So today, as you mentioned at the top, it is preview numero dos. We are going into all things Big 12. Mm-hmm. If you're interested in hearing preview numero uno, that was the ACC. We did it last week. After today's show, of note, because we have gotten some questions about this, you can listen to 2 Solid Verbal episodes per week. Starting this coming Sunday.
Yeah,
that's right. This coming Sunday, we will start dropping our 2 shows a week, our normal regimen as we get near and into the college football season here in 2019. So something to look forward to. As always, if you don't already follow us on social media, we are on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all the usual hotspots. Also, there is a subreddit, reddit.com/r/solidverbal, where you can talk about all of our episodes. And if you haven't already, please do subscribe to our newsletter of intent, which you can find at solidverbal.com. Oh, and if you want to buy t-shirts, you can buy those whenever you want. I have a bunch I need to send out, Dan. I haven't told you about this yet. I got to send these out to some loyal verballers. I still have trouble saying that. I don't know why. I still drift a little too close to lawyer.
How about treasured verballers?
Treasured verballers. Thank you. I have some shirts I have to send out, but solidverbal.com/store.
Solidverbal.com/store. We put the Letdown Look Ahead Sandwich one back up in the store. I saw we got a bunch of requests for that.
Yes, so good.
If you're interested in that, it's very comfortable. People will be very confused and say, wait, who started? Is that from the people that started Jersey? No.
Different.
Something different. But it's an icebreaker. You can have a conversation about it. But it's very comfortable. The design, I think, came out cool. So the Letdown Look Ahead Sandwich shirt, back up, solidverbal.com/store.
On that note, Dan.
Boom. Spicy.
Let's get into the Big 12. Same format as a week ago. You and I have constructed questions for one another. We're trying to facilitate a discussion here, man. That's what we're doing on this show.
Yeah.
I've got questions for you. You've got questions for me. Where do we want to start?
You want to start with the defending champion?
Please.
All right. Ask me a question you have.
The defending champion, your Oklahoma Sooners. They went to the college football playoff. They lost to Alabama, but had a great season led by one Kyler Murray, Heisman Trophy winner, number one overall pick in the NFL draft. And now as we enter the 2019 season, I think everyone's going to ask, what about Jalen Hurts? Jalen Hurts is the transfer from Alabama, obviously had a fair amount of success during his time in Tuscaloosa. Now he's jumped aboard the Lincoln Riley bandwagon in Norman. And the obvious question is, well, can Lincoln Riley engineer yet another Heisman campaign at the quarterback position? I think that's a fair question. I think we'll get into that.
Yes.
What I need to know from you, though, I need to talk about Oklahoma's defense, because defense was clearly the Achilles heel last season. It's been so for a while. Lincoln Riley made a big move in the offseason. He snagged Alex Grinch over from Ohio State, formerly of Wazoo, to come in and upgrade it. So for people who aren't familiar with Alex Grinch, what can they expect? What do you expect in year one in Oklahoma? And do you see an immediate impact from him or from the defense like we've seen at other places he's been?
First off, giant dome. So fits that Mike and Bob Stoops mold of having a big head. Alex Grinch brings that right off the bat. What's in that brain? Well, I think he's going to be a little less predictable than late era Mike Stoops. I think he's going to attempt to hide weakness a little bit better. That secondary was absolutely torched by admittedly very, very good quarterbacks, you know, led by Will Grier near the end of the season, then Tua in the playoff. I think he's going to try to generate more confusion. They're going to take more chances. I think it's very easy to look at Alex Grinch as somebody who has come in and fixed defenses like he did at Washington State and say, what is he going to do this year? I think they're a year away. I honestly think the best that they can hope for from horrid is to not great, to below average, that kind of thing. I think you're going to have to, this is going to be the cliche of previews and new coaches, but it's going to be a walk before you can run. Because last year, the defense, especially against the pass and in the Big 12, it seems important, was putrid. And so it's generating a better pass rush. It's, you know, confusing. Like I said, they last year, and you said Achilles heel. It was more heel calf, quad, every back part of the body was a problem for Oklahoma. So they married the best offense, what appears to be the best offense of the modern era, with a truly abysmal defense, and then they add penalties to that. So I think that's something that you can, in year one, fix pretty quickly. It's discipline. And so if that happens, and you look at the better teams in college football that are outperforming the talent they have, a lot of it is turnovers and discipline, you know, killing penalties and all that kind of stuff. So if they're able to do that with a higher talent level than most, they're going to be in a pretty good place to win those 50-50 games, like the Texas game from last year and the Iowa State game from a couple of years ago. If Alex Grinch, and this is the thing that it kind of pains me to say because I know how it might be taken by Oklahoma fans, if he can be middle era, so like 2013, 14, 15 Mike Stoops and the defense that he put together with, I would say, more talent at the middle part of that defense, especially at linebacker, Eric Stryker and Frank Shannon, guys like that, they're going to worship him. He's going to be a god.
Middle era Mike Stoops.
Middle era, very specific.
Wow.
Middle era Mike Stoops. But here's the other important thing. Last year's defense, as bad as it was at times, was bailed out by, again, an incredible offense.
Well, see, and that's the thing. We talked about it, you'll remember, countless times on the show last year. The offense was playing so well that it was almost as if Oklahoma's entire game plan on defense was to try and create one or two plays. One or two plays, get a turnover, do something that gives an extra possession to the offense. Mm-hmm. And that at a minimum will be enough to create some separation because the offense was so high-powered. It was so efficient. I think you want to be better than that. Last year, Oklahoma gave up 6.13 yards per play. That's worse than Kansas. That's worse than Oklahoma State. Neither of which, you might have assumed, was all that great on defense either. So just marginally better makes them so, so, so much better as a team.
Yeah, they had a true freshman quarter in Bookie. Was it Radley Heil? Whatever it is. It's a three-namer. Starts with Bookie. He was picked on a lot, especially in that Will Grier West Virginia game. And so confidence is going to be a huge thing. And the other thing is, I don't know. I mean, they have CeeDee Lamb. They bring in three blue chip receivers. Charleston Rambo's an all-time great name at receiver. Grant Galcaterra comes back at tight end. Obviously, we know about Trey Sermon and Kennedy Brooks at running back. So I wonder if they play with tempo a little bit. I wonder if, because Jalen Hurts, I don't think, is necessarily going to be Kyler Murray nor Baker Mayfield downfield with that sort of confidence throwing into tight windows, timing kind of guy. Because if there was anything that we questioned from his time at Alabama was the fearlessness, the accuracy, the consistency of Jalen Hurts downfield. Now, maybe going to Lincoln Riley University solves everything. And we didn't get to see him in the Mike Locksley, Josh Gattis, Dan Enos era at Alabama. So maybe if he were forced into starting duty last year, it would have been better. And obviously, we saw him save the SEC championship game with Tua and his issues medically. But I'm curious, you know, a full offseason in this program. But on the flip side with that, the track record of grad transfers, guys thrust into a big spot, whether it's at Florida, whether it's at wherever, it's tough. It's absolutely tough to pick something up and have that command right away. So Oklahoma's defensive line, pretty experienced. Linebacker has questions, especially Caleb Kelly, longtime starter and a key cog. He hurts his knee in the spring, and still the secondary is a nightmare. So just improving on penalties. The schedule is, I mean, they open against Houston, so you get that.
But here's the thing. You mentioned the schedule.
Yeah.
And I think when you combine that with the whole conversation around Jalen Hurts, it changes expectations a little bit.
The schedule that
Jalen Hurts had to play at Alabama was a far cry for what he's got this year in the Big 12.
Right.
With Oklahoma. And I think that plays to his favor, to be honest. I think he can get away with being, 75% of Kyler Murray. He might be a lot better, and he would still be a huge success for the Sooners this season.
Which one of these defenses on the road for Oklahoma scares you the most, or scares you, period? UCLA, Kansas, Kansas State, Baylor, Oklahoma State. These are schools that, I mean, the Kansas State defense was actually really nice at preventing bigger plays, but it's a new look defense in some regard. And I just don't see that that hornet's nest. I don't see that multi-sport field in Jalen Hurts' 2019 that's going to be bearing down on him. Could be wrong, right, but at first glance, it's tough to find.
Yeah, I think it sets up well for Oklahoma this year. There's still a ton of talent on the offensive side of the ball. I think any kind of improvement on defense makes them incredibly better. I think any kind of improvement on the defensive side of the football makes them nothing short of a contender. They're already there, but more so. So we're splitting hairs trying to find issues with this team at this point. Lincoln Riley has done a tremendous job in his first two seasons, and I would expect that to continue now into 2019. The next obvious question then is there a challenger other than Texas, or maybe just is Texas a challenger that is going to emerge in the 2019 Big 12 conference?
It's a great question. And we're not splitting hairs finding a weakness, to be clear. We know the weakness.
Right.
That's clear. It's clearly a defense, but we're splitting hairs in terms of looking at Oklahoma and saying, are there significant problems outside of Oklahoma that, you know, it's obvious that they're going to take down Oklahoma? Because that doesn't exist necessarily. I have Oklahoma as, you know, best case scenario, probably 11-1. I have them going against, I don't know, 6 to 6.5 threatening quarterbacks on their schedule. The worst case scenario is probably 9-3 with no defensive improvement this year. Not a great fit with Jalen Hurts. This is worst case again. And they won a couple of significant shootouts last year if they don't beat, I think it was Texas Tech and Oklahoma State. And obviously they lose to Texas in a shootout last year. You know, they go 9-3 this year and it just doesn't fully work this year. And then moving forward with presumably Spencer Rattler, the number one quarterback in this past year's class, or I think it's Tanner Mordecai, great name, also on the depth chart, that they would, you know, approach the levels of Kyler Murray and Baker Mayfield. So that's my best case, worst case.
Where are we going next here, Dan? You want to ask me something?
Well, you seem to be itching to talk about Texas.
Oh,
so let's talk Kansas football. Okay. The Texas question is, I mean, fairly certain, fairly obvious right now. And they lose chunks of that defense that actually wasn't great. So there are some people that worry about they lose, you know, big players at each level of the defense. But that defense struggled some against some pretty significant opponents. And then weirdly enough, the offense struggled against teams they shouldn't have struggled against. So, and it's become a Tom Herman calling card of getting up for the huge opponents and all of a sudden not showing up for some lesser ones. Do you have reason to believe the Longhorns can be more focused and consistent week to week than they've been in years past? We saw the Maryland games these past 2 years with Tom Herman.
More focused and consistent week to week than they have been in years past.
Yeah.
First off, Dan, I would preface this entire discussion by saying that, you know, Sam Ehlinger declared Texas is back after their Sugar Bowl win last year. So
he was probably prompted.
We may be able to omit this preview entirely and just move on to Kansas if you're interested.
It's all moot. Mm-hmm. Humor me.
So here's the thing with Texas, all right?
Yeah.
I think consistency comes down to what can Tom Herman and Todd Orlando put together after losing 8 senior starters on defense.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at defense first and foremost. The talent's there, but they're going to be super young. Linebacker's a real question. Jeffrey McCullough really needs to have himself a year.
Yep.
I'm cool with the safety situation. You know I love Caden Stearns. We talked about him too, but they're going to be relying on
Brandon Jones is a nice player.
Oh, yeah. 3 true sophomores at corner, which could be an issue.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just going to be a tall order. By the way, they got to get better on third down defense as a whole. It sank all the way to 109th in the nation last year. And keep in mind, this is a team that played a lot of close football games. Getting off the field on third down can really go a long way towards creating some breathing room.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's where I stand on the whole Texas defense side of things. On the offensive side, they got to find a way to get more explosive. It was just not a running game issue. This was just a team that, for whatever reason, had a hard time generating chunk plays. They didn't have a single play over 50 yards last season, if you can believe that.
Same. Yeah.
So the Sam Ehlinger, Colin Johnson connection is going to be really important this year. But I think there needs to be some other cog in the works that can help generate big plays. I don't know if it's Jake Smith, their freshman wideout. A lot of folks are excited about him. Maybe he can step in and generate some spark as well.
Sam Ellinger. Devin Duvernay. I think he's shown flashes in the past. But
sure,
right.
sure. But Jake Smith, I know, is a name just from reading that people are very excited about. Mm-hmm. Somebody's got to step in, and someone's got to do something to help out Sam Ellinger. His numbers were absurd a year ago. I don't mean to diminish those at all.
Right.
But he needs to get some help in any one of like eight different ways, not the least of which is the running game.
You're absolutely right. And I think Keyonte Ingram was good enough to feel more confident than we've been able to in a couple of years.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But yes, you're right. The load needs to be taken off of him. And we've seen, and you know, it's not always accurate to say, okay, well, if he throws this many times, they're in trouble. But when he went over 35 times, he was either legitimately excellent and they needed every one of those throws, or it was a little bit worrisome that he was shouldering that level of things, that they couldn't move the ball in, like you mentioned, chunkier plays, thick and chunky plays.
Right.
They need to be restaurant salsa, Ty. They need, you have the spicy sound, they need to be thick and chunky with their plays. And I hope that they can get to that point because, I mean, they appear to be the teams at the top of the conference when you mix talent and results and potential
They're right up there. But you're right. Yeah. The question is on point. It is a matter of consistency. And I think it's a matter of being consistent all throughout the depth chart and in every facet of the game. Sam Ellinger, to your point, is way too valuable to the success of this team. He cannot finish with 164 rushing attempts like he did last year.
Yeah.
He cannot finish with that many. It's just not sustainable. Tom Herman knows it. At Big 12 Media Days, he said Texas is a power running team. And he tried last year. They had the most rushing attempts in the conference, but still they tied for 76th nationally in rushes of 10 yards or more. So I don't know if it's Keyonte Ingram, if it's Jordan Whittingham. I don't know who's going to change that this year, but somebody's got to take the load off of Sam Ellinger, or this is not going to work the way I think Sam Ellinger thought it was going to work when he said that Texas is back.
Yeah, still such a great short yardage weapon, though. Just his feel for space is so great around the goal line or on, you know, third and inches, stuff like that. I don't think they're going to fully take the ball out of his hands, but...
No, he had 16,
you're totally right.
16 rushing touchdowns last year, so he's a weapon down at the goal, and he had 41 in total, only 5 interceptions, over 3,200 passing yards.
How's their schedule?
Their schedule... There's only two games on the schedule where they're not favored at this early juncture. That's the Red River Shootout against Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. And then there's a big non-conference game at home against LSU in week two.
Ooh.
Every other game, all 10 of the other games, they should be favored. I don't know if they drop one of those here or there. I mean, who knows how the defense ends up playing? Like I said, they're young.
Here's my question. Dan prefaces. I am a big believer in loving teams who can put forth the best combination of quarterback play and defense. You know, it's great to have great running back. It's great to have great line, great to have receivers and whatever. Quarterback and defense. Quarterback and defense, ultimately, to me, is the most attractive thing in feeling good about a complete team experience. Who is that team in the Big 12?
Quarterback and defense?
Quarterback and defense. That you are feeling that they are most... aligned in being high level.
Boy.
I know I'm putting you on the spot, but I have an answer if you don't want to offer.
Looking at my teams. I've got the Texas teams and Kansas.
Yes.
It's.
I don't think it's from that grouping.
It's not from this grouping, no.
No. I think it's Iowa State.
You could be right about that. Do you want to go there next?
My chips. I would love to go there next because I watched when I say A, I mean three, mixtapes of Brock Purdy today. And I'm sweating just thinking about it, Ty.
Mixtapes of Brock Purdy. So
mixtapes of Brock Purdy, okay. And I'm feeling juiced.
You've got the vapors for Brock Purdy. We all do. I'm excited about Brock Purdy. Had a really good freshman campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Issue this year, David Montgomery, the running back, and Hakeem Butler, the receiver, are now both in the NFL. Collectively, they accounted for 53% of Iowa State's offensive yardage from a year ago. I don't think Brock Purdy can replace all that on his own. It's going to have to fall in the lap of somebody else. The question is, how does Matt Campbell replace that kind of production?
Right. No, it's a wonderful question, and I think it's the biggest one there is because of how strong they appear on defense, especially up front. The back end has Greg Eisworth at safety, who we mentioned, total dude, a few weeks ago when we did our preseason dude watch list. So that is enormous. The great news is this. With regard to David Montgomery, really good player, did so much for the team, was a leader, and, you know, bell cow in the backfield. Iowa State did not win on the ground. They did not produce on the ground. They were not even close to one of the Big 12's better rushing team, let alone somebody who was to be looked at admirably in the country. They won through the air, and they won going to, not exclusively, but a lot of the time, to Hakeem Butler, who, even when he wasn't catching the ball, was a gravitational player, you know, unlike many other receivers we saw last year. The good news for Iowa State is they're well coached. So even if they're not a lights out offense, even if they can't fully replace, like you're asking me, David Montgomery and Hakeem Butler's production, they don't shoot themselves in the foot. They get off the field on third down. The schedule, yes, is tough this year. Yes, they gave up too many big plays last year, but they were excellent in the red zone. They really did make a nice year out of bend but don't break, especially after starting the year last year, 1-3? They scored 3 points against Iowa. I think that's a Zeb Nolan game, who was good against Oklahoma. They lose in a low-scoring close game to TCU. Then they win 7-8 with Brock Purdy. They were essentially last year a chunk of grass and a gust of wind from going 10-2. And yes, I remember the Drake game. Mm-hmm. That we've accepted it. It was not pretty. The camera lens fogged up, and we've moved forward. Quarterback is set. You know, I don't think running back is in a great place. Sheldon Crony's the name that's being thrown out. They'll be fine, but if he's only okay, I don't think that's any different than the production that they've gotten in years past. Tariq Milton had a really nice year. They get an Arkansas transfer in LaMichael Petway. Deshante Jones was good. The entire offensive line is back. My only real question about Iowa State has not a lot to do with Iowa State. It's that their October is TCU at West Virginia, at Texas Tech, Oklahoma State, a bye week before Oklahoma on the road, which is nice, Texas, and they end with the Kansas schools. Mm. So they could again go 8-4 or something like that and look like a 10-2 team. If they win those 50-50 games that, you know, it was 6-3 going into the fourth quarter against Iowa last year, you know, TCU was obviously very close. I think they're the best combination. You watch these clips of Brock Purdy again, and it's been months and months, and there's Johnny football to him. He's not as good as Johnny Manziel, but that style of playing, Brocky football. I apologize for that. I take it all back.
Wow, this is the cheese balls episode.
I know, it really is. So best case is Brock Purdy's a Heisman caliber quarterback. The defense does even better against a somewhat new look Big 12. They win the close ones, and I think the best case is they go 9-3. 10-2 might be a bit of a stretch.
I can't even tell you right now to pump the brakes on Iowa State because
you have
fully removed the brakes.
Oh, I cut those. I am wheeling out of control. I am passing cars. There's smoke coming out, and I don't even care. I'm riding this puppy until it explodes.
Who am I to rain on your Iowa State parade?
That's true. So, worst case scenario. I'll tell you the worst case, though.
Are you picking Iowa State to finish better or worse than Oklahoma?
I think there's just too much talent in Norman. That they will do better surviving any defensive deficiencies they have, because it's just Iowa State, while they're more experienced, especially up front, they're probably, you know, the team I like the best if you're talking about a combination of offensive and defensive lines. If they can't handle two key injuries, they just can't, in the way that Oklahoma probably can in most places, other than perhaps quarterback. So I think because of depth, because of talent, because that game is in Norman, I think I like Oklahoma just a little bit more than Iowa State, but I think I have Iowa State ahead of Texas.
Oh, even God. Texas,
losing last year.
Texas is on the road in mid-November. In
yes,
Ames.
Sir. Yes, sir. So, worst case.
Okay.
Worst case, they again lose. They have Iowa at home this year, so they again lose Cy-Hawk, and their road woes continue. They lose those 50-50 games, and they go 7-5. That's worst case to me.
You are high on Iowa State. Okay.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Excellent. Where do you want to go next?
I don't want to be on a fence here, Ty.
No, I appreciate
it. Push the chips to the center.
It's not quite a hot take, but it's just a very...
It's not hot.
It's a definitive, confident take.
I'm telling you, they were... it's a take that they were, whatever I said, a sneeze away from 10-2. Couple sneezes.
It's a take.
It's a take. Okay. Let's go to TCU because I'm super hot and bothered by Iowa State. So let's bring the passion to your neighborhoods. Okay.
Sorry.
You know you want it. You know you want it. It seems the Frogs have... I was trying to really find something positive about this quarterback room, but...
Yeah, it's tough.
It's sort of a B-minus group battling it out for that job. Would love to be wrong, but it's, you know, this guy's promising, but has a terrible foot. Or this guy came from Kansas State. He was beat out because he wasn't that good. Is there anything about TCU that has you confident about them as something beyond... like just being a wild card, like a thorn in 2.5 team sides, good teams?
Okay, fair question. This is a challenging preview for me on a personal level because I'm always in on TCU and then they break my heart.
Right.
TCU usually follows up a season like last year where they went 6-6 in the regular season with a 10 or 11 win season.
Right.
That's been their MO. It's going to be real hard for me to not jump back on that bandwagon, especially now that they've got 7 starters back on offense.
Yeah.
Full disclosure, I'll put that out there.
Is one of them Trevon Boykin?
No.
Okay.
It is not.
Okay.
And that's an issue. I don't know who's playing quarterback. They have a ton of options. The options range everywhere from Alex Delton, who comes over from Kansas State, to Max Duggan, who's a freshman.
Yeah.
Almost doesn't matter who's playing. My guess is it's probably Alex Delton. Regardless, they got to get better in the passing game. If they want to make that jump to 10 or 11 wins, they got to get better in the passing game.
Yeah.
The other thing they need to do is not get hurt. They were so banged up last year to the point, literally, where Gary Patterson was not even focusing on 2018, was focusing on getting ready for 2019. Did you know they were missing 22 players going into the spring? They didn't even do a spring game because they were so banged up. They didn't even want to tempt fate. They just had a public practice.
Oh, man.
That's how bad it was.
Yeah. A walkthrough.
But still, even despite all the injuries, they were the best in the conference on a per play and per game basis in terms of yardage allowed. So they still play defense at TCU. They're just really nicked up. Now, what does TCU need to do outside of the quarterback position if they want to be more than just that thorn? They've got a really great 1-2 punch at running back. Darius Anderson and a gentleman whose name I cannot say.
Uh-oh. You talking about Shewo?
I cannot say
Shewo Alonolua?
I've gone on YouTube. I can't do it.
It's Shewo.
I know it's Shewo. I can hear it. I just can't say it.
Alone?
Shewo. Shewo. I can't even say his first name.
Shewo Alonolua.
Shewo Alonolua.
Mm-hmm.
Shewo Alonolua.
Yeah.
Between him and Darius Anderson, that's a really effective 1-2 punch at running back. They got a couple guys back along the offensive line, but really just a ton of guys who got experience last year because they got so many damn injuries.
Mm-hmm.
All right? I'm excited about this team this year.
All right.
I'm not fully in yet. Still got some turnover along the defensive line. Got to replace Ty Summers in the linebacking core. Good secondary. I think they're going to be fine on defense. Gary Patterson knows how to coach defense. They got freaks on the Bruce Feldman freak list between your boy Shewo and Jeff Gladney, Jalen Reagor, who we're going to talk about, but I am in on TCU. I'm in on him this year.
Here's what I think the TCU offense should be. Whoever wins that job, Max Duggan or Alex Delton, or if Justin Rogers, you know, is able to heal and recover, you walk up to the line of scrimmage
and you hand it off.
quarterback job is to identify where the Mike linebacker is, the middle linebacker, and sort of sort out the defense from there. Point right at the middle linebacker and you say, we're not passing to Jalen Reagor this down. And then you do. And then you do. The old 1-2 switcheroo. I think that's the best way.
Psychological warfare.
Psychological warfare. 2014, 12-1. 2015, 11-2. Wow, everything's going well. Let's not talk about the bowl game after 2015.
Nope.
2016.
Never happened.
Never happened to me. The Alamo Bowl is a bowl that happens some years. TCU goes 6-7, 11-3, 7-6. So they've been flip-flopping since 2015, double-digit wins, and then bowl eligibility-ish. So this year would be a double-digit win year if everything universe-wise checks out. I don't think it's the case, but can they be led with a really good pass defense and creative offense? Maybe they rejigger some things offensively and go 8-4, 9-3? I think it's within the realm of
possibility. It's within the realm. Here's the other thing.
Yeah.
I have never been able to figure out Alex Delton.
I like their offensive line a lot, by the way, as well.
I like their line. They've got guys back.
Lucas Niang.
All good. I could never figure out Alex Delton when he was at K-State. Never. I always underestimated him. And
okay.
I know that in the early going here, they're pretty high on his ability to throw the ball. Implying that maybe we didn't see what he has to bring fully to the equation because he wasn't afforded that opportunity at K-State.
I don't know.
If Alex Delton is a starter at TCU this year, it will really be the cherry on top of a preview that I am already uncomfortable with and am not willing to offer a definitive take on.
I am ready to declare Alex Delton not great.
Not great.
I hope he's great this year. That'd be really cool because that would mean TCU is all of a sudden another competitive team on top of near the top of the Big 12. I have figured him out and I'm not crazy encouraged, but I hope I'm wrong.
All right, Dan, we mentioned K-State. Let's talk about K-State. Let's talk about K-State. Chris Kleiman.
Mm-hmm. I think that's right.
Comes over from North Dakota State, a program you and I know well.
Intimately.
He comes over after being recruited by Gene Taylor. He was formerly the athletic director at North Dakota State, now at K-State. Mm-hmm. Longer term, you're looking at this. I think the goal would be to implement some kind of North Dakota State model.
Which is what?
Which is...
Just winning all the time.
Well, winning all the time, sure. But finding guys who go unrecruited in that part, very regionally, recruit well, find guys that fit your system, maybe that don't get into some bigger schools, and establish K-State as the place for those kids to go. It's worked very well for North Dakota State.
Yeah.
Shorter term, though.
Mm-hmm.
Shorter term, what's the transition look like from Bill Snyder now to Chris Kleiman?
I got to get better on offense. They have to get better. They were off the field real quick. They were not great on third down. They were not great in the red zone. They didn't generate big plays. And a couple of years ago, they were. Skylar Thompson's the guy, as we mentioned, Alex Delton in Fort Worth. I don't think he was great in the old system. Maybe things are revolutionized. It's running back by committee after Alex Barnes goes to the NFL. You know, Dalton Schoen has been there for a little bit, and he was impressive. I want to say he's a former walk-on, but I want to say that about everybody on Kansas State. I think when you go to 24/7, it just says former walk-on next to everybody in their class. Their defensive line should be strong. Linebackers should be all right. Secondary, decent, noticeable losses there. And you mentioned the recruiting. That's the model of finding under-recruited guys, filling your depth chart with grit and determination and, you know, perhaps guys who have the frame to grow but come in, you know, underweight. You know, 6'2", 180, and suddenly they become 6'2", 220 by the time they leave at outside linebacker or something. Recruiting's going well. They're getting top 30, top 40 guys at their positions around, whether it's Kansas or Oklahoma or Texas. I don't know how strongly they're going to follow the junior college model that Bill Snyder did. It's very early to say. Obviously, there's a lot of junior colleges in Kansas to pick from, but I think the outlook is pretty positive long term. I like Scotty Hazleton. I thought that was a really nice hire at defensive coordinator. You know, he's in that tree, that coaching tree. He was at Wyoming with Craig Bull. Schedule wise, they're in a good-ish place. They have Mississippi State. They go back to Starkville. I think it's week 3. They go to Stillwater. The November is pretty tough. They're at Texas. They have West Virginia, at Texas Tech, and Iowa State. they were not that far away from being a wild card last year. TCU, Baylor, Iowa State, Texas were all real close and winnable at moments. And I think they can get to 7-5 this year. I think when you have an improved, I mean, if you are able to maintain the discipline, so they didn't shoot themselves in the foot. They were obviously, it's a Bill Snyder team. They're well coached. They're going to, you know, to grind out wins. If they're able to maintain that and then get something offensively,
right. Yeah.
I think they're 7-5, 8-4 team. Worst case, they're overhauling everything and they're 5-7 again or something like that. But I think the variance is pretty wide. And if they can keep recruiting at this clip, I know their class is pretty much already put together. I'm feeling very good. The North Dakota State model that you mentioned is different in the Big 12 because they were able to rely on guys in Wisconsin and Minnesota and in the Dakotas. And I know there are other really good FCS schools in the North Dakota, South Dakota, Northern Iowa, stuff like that. But in that general area, if you were a pretty good player, but not Big Ten level and maybe borderline MAC, and you were from Minnesota or Wisconsin, and maybe you wanted to be a big fish in a slightly smaller pond, you see Carson Wentz, that's the guy, the NFL, get drafted in top 1-2 pick, whatever. Maybe that's attractive to you. It's different down in Kansas, when the best players can, or borderline players can still go to Texas Tech. They can still go to Baylor. They can still go to TCU, and they're not necessarily as attracted to Kansas State. I hope it's not the case, but I think that model is going to be a little bit more difficult to replicate.
It's going to have to be tweaked. It can't be the same where you're recruiting from Northern Minnesota. That's not going to work.
But I feel good.
But can it be tweaked? Can it be modified so that it works in that part of the country? I think absolutely.
If you're able to put together sound game plans, if you're able to teach your team effectively, if you're able to get buy-in every week, even if you start 0-3, you're going to win a lot more often than you're not in a pretty wide open conference, which right now, given Oklahoma's defense, given questions about Texas, I don't think Kansas State's competing for the conference, but you can win more often than not.
I like the move.
I like it.
I do.
I'm in.
I am as well. Where are we going next?
All right. Let's go. Let's go to Tech. Let's go to another new coach. Let's go to Lubbock because it's been far too long without mentioning British comedy legend Alan Bowman.
Absolutely.
And his ceiling, which I think is sky high. I mean, I'm kind of jealous that you are the one to talk about Texas Tech. They hire Matt Wells. He's not an air raid guy as obviously Mike Leach and brave Tommy Tuberville and then Cliff Kingsbury were. Cliff Kingsbury. But the pieces are in place. Quarterback, receiver, just offensive skill in general, improved defense.
Yeah.
To go, I'm not going to say seamlessly, but kind of seamlessly from one pass happy system to another and keep progressing all around. Do you think that's true, or is this a full reboot in the vision of Matt Wells?
This is not a reboot.
Okay.
This is not a reboot like you might see elsewhere when you get a new coach. I think the offense is actually going to be similar enough to what they ran last season, which is good news for your boy, for our boy, British comedy legend, Alan Bowman.
Alan Bowman.
He was outstanding as a freshman last year. He actually led the nation in passing before he suffered that collapsed lung.
Yeah.
So this is a kid who's got a ton of talent. I think you're going to see a lot of the same concepts. I think you're going to see a lot of tempo this year. And I think it suits the offense well. Now, they need to stay healthy out wide.
Yeah.
They really do. They need to find a way to get TJ Vasher the ball. He's the 6'6 beast of a wideout who's a matchup advantage every time he's on the field.
Nightmare.
And then there are other names you should listen for. Excuse me. Seth Collins, Kashawn Carter. He's a burner. We got a redshirt freshman. Another guy I can't say. I'm going to try Eric Azukanma.
I don't have it in front of me. So you did an A-plus job.
I'm just steering into it, man. I have a hard time with some of these. Then we've got a transfer, McLean Mannix, who put up stats at Nevada. The line has the most returning starts in the Big 12. You wrap that all together, Dan, and this should be a really high-powered offense, again, moving away from Cliff Kingsbury, moving towards now Matt Wells, maybe not an air raid guy, but he's passionate. He's trying to change the culture. He's really trying to build in this sense of accountability. all the sorts of things that you hear from a new head football coach. But I think it all plays very nicely into a young core of players that are coming back for 2019. So offensively, they should be, I think, pretty outstanding. The defensive side of the ball is where I texted you, or why I texted you.
That's true.
There was a line in not one, but many of the Texas Tech previews that I read. Keith Patterson, new defensive coordinator, talking about guys getting ready to play a more aggressive attacking style.
Aggressive attacking.
I love it.
Of course.
And if you're a Texas Tech fan, you should love it too. Utah State, where Patterson comes from, along with Matt Wells, had 32 takeaways last year. That was tied for best in the nation. They've got a really good pass rusher in Eli Howard. Had 15 hurries and 9 sacks as a sophomore. I think they're trying to build better on defense. Might take them a little bit to get there, but this is a good team. I'm excited about Texas Tech. They've got road games against Oklahoma and Texas, which isn't great. Otherwise, though, the schedule's okay. Early on, Tech has Montana State, UTEP, and then a road game against Arizona.
Pretty good, although I think Arizona's going to be okay this year.
Arizona might be okay this year.
Yeah.
A lot of offense in that game, to say the least. Otherwise, though, there's a road game against West Virginia in there. Could be tricky, I guess. West Virginia's sort of a piece of unmolded clay.
Oh, I definitely think that'll be tricky. Yeah.
And obviously, a lot of the teams we're talking about in the Big 12 should be, I think, improved. But as it stands, the schedule isn't as bad as it could be. The over-under for Tech right now sits at 6. I love the over there.
Do you? Okay, so that would be, this is me speaking, not you. Montana State, UTEP, Kansas.
Yep.
Kansas State, West Virginia, Baylor. That's 6. That's 6. Arizona would be 7.
I think they beat Arizona, Dan.
I don't know. That's tough.
Arizona's defense is putrid.
It is bad. It is very bad. And Utah State, because you mentioned, you know, David Yost, offensive coordinator, who's had success both at Missouri, and I think he was a receivers coach for Mike Leach at Washington State, and then Utah State last year. We'll not talk about his 1 year at Oregon. They finished 8th in the country in offensive points per drive, no garbage time, and 11th on defense, because you mentioned the aggressive attacking.
That's right.
Keith Patterson. So encouraging that they got to that point, that even if Texas Tech is not fully formidable this year, that 2021, this is a more complete Texas Tech team than we've seen in a long time, would be something we might say.
If Alan Bowman stays healthy,
yeah,
this could be a dynamic offense. And that'd
Can
be
I
a
ask
lot
you
of
a question?
Yes.
So I was looking up the quarterbacks from 2018 who both, against their conference opponents, led the nation in either rating or yards per attempt. As you might imagine, it was Kyler Murray and Tua Tagovailoa atop that list. Do you have a guess, be it, I don't know, Will Greer, Dwayne Haskins, whoever, who is number 3?
I don't know. Is
KJ Costello, maybe?
Is it
Derek King?
British comedy legend Alan Bowman?
It's not British comedy legend Alan Bowman. I don't know if he had enough stats to qualify, enough games started. It's Brock Purdy.
Yeah.
It's Brock Purdy. So
the brakes have been
I just
fully
wanted to
removed.
Circle it. I wanted to circle right on back to Ames, Iowa.
Daniel, okay. Let's go to West Virginia.
Okay.
New coach this year, your boy Neil Brown from Troy.
My guy.
He is switching up the defense from a 3-3-5 to more of a hybrid-y 4-2 front, 4-2-5.
Sort of, yeah.
Right, sort of. Two questions on this. A, does West Virginia have the personnel to make the switch? And then B, can they be better on defense because of it in 2019? Because that's really been an Achilles heel for them as well.
Sort of, yes. I mean, Tony Gibson, I thought, did a really nice job bringing West Virginia from pretty bad to pretty dangerous a couple years ago, 3-4 years ago. Last year, they were not good. Last year, they struggled. The good news is, I think given what he runs and where he happened to be coaching these past few years, Vic Caining is potentially a very, very good fit for what West Virginia is going to be transitioning sort of to, because he kind of already also runs a 3-3-5. He's pretty multiple up front. Sometimes it's a three-man front. Sometimes it's a four-man front. And my guy Vic loves a good hybrid player nickname. I think he's got a spear. I think he's got a bandit. There's all sorts of names for players. I think there's, you got a hybrid outside linebacker safety, who I believe is the spear. Hmm. And the bandit is the hybrid linebacker defensive end, who plays pretty close to the line of scrimmage. Under Vic Caining at Troy, who comes with Neil Brown to West Virginia, they were very, very good against the run, which who knows how much that fully means in the Big 12. They were decent against the pass. They generated turnovers. Their havoc rate was through the roof. He's everything I would want in a transitioning defense in the Big 12, essentially. He's been around. He was at Illinois. He was at North Carolina. He's coached a number of places. I think he interviewed, where did he interview recently? I think Oklahoma State, I saw, and they ultimately hired Jim Knowles. So he's a big name that if West Virginia can generate havoc, if they can continue what Troy was doing in the air as, I want to say, the best passing team in the Sun Belt last year. You know, it's a new quarterback in Austin Kendall. It'd probably be nicer if Will Grier were back, but it's not the case. Austin Kendall is the probable starter, the Oklahoma transfer. Kennedy McCoy is back, a strong all-purpose running back. Pretty big hit at receiver. TJ Simmons is the big new name there. I don't love their line, but you asked about defense. The defensive line's in good shape. There are bodies there. Is it the deepest? I don't know. But there are bodies along the defensive line that I think can get it done and wreak havoc. Linebacker is thin, but they get healthier there, and they've shown a good amount of promise there. Defensive back, okay. I can't fully say they're really good after watching them play against Oklahoma last year. They didn't, you know, Ed Reed is not going to be starting in center field for West Virginia, said the sports talk radio host. But as for your question, do they have the manpower? Do they have the ability? I don't think they're transitioning in a dramatic way defensively. I like Vic Caining. I like the transition. If Austin Kendall is really good and the defense can get off the field pretty quickly, this will be a good team. They went 8-3 last year. They lose that shootout to Oklahoma. They gave away the Oklahoma State game. I think it was three touchdowns in the fourth quarter they give up. They just regressed. And so if they're able to play more disciplined, if Austin Kendall is good, if the defense is wreaking havoc, 8-4 team. It's a nice first year given how well they've recruited skill position guys and where they are defensively. Worst case scenario, it takes some time to install on both sides of the ball. It is a tough non-conference schedule. They go to Missouri and they have NC State. They have a tough October stretch with Texas, Iowa State, and Oklahoma in Norman. It could be a 6-6, 5-7 type year one mucky kind of year.
Mucky.
It could be mucky. I am leaning towards they're a bowl team. I've been low on West Virginia in years past where you've been higher. I think they're a bowl team for sure.
I just like the fact that they got A, Neil Brown, and B, Austin Kendall.
Yeah.
Bringing Austin Kendall over should help.
It absolutely should help. Yeah. And, you know, they were bad in the bowl game against Syracuse, but they didn't start Will Grier. Losing guys who've been around forever, like David Sills and on both sides of the ball. But I think they're okay. I think they're going to be all right. I think they're going to be, if they just clean up, allowing huge plays and giving up stupid penalty yardage, they're better. They're already better. So I feel pretty good.
I have a high degree of confidence that Neil Brown will be better at building an all-around team mm-hmm. than Dana Holgorsen, which was lopsided, offense being dynamic most years and defense being hit or miss.
Right. And I believe, I'm Googling this as we speak though, good connection, Tony Gibson, the longtime defensive coordinator at West Virginia, is now running the defense at NC State, who West Virginia has early on. So familiarity there.
Circle
way.
Of life. Okay, where are we going next?
All right, let's go to Baylor.
Oh,
how about
boy.
That? Let's go to Baylor, who had a pretty promising year last year.
You want to talk about cutting the brakes out from Iowa State?
Oh, God.
Let's talk about my Baylor Bears.
Let's talk about your Baylor Bears.
Yeah.
they're competitive last year. They won a bowl game last year. They find a quarterback for sure last year. They're ahead of where I think a lot of people thought they'd be given the talent drain in Waco. They're still not, it doesn't seem particularly deep in a pretty open Big 12 middle class, but does that matter? Does it make it easier given the changes at West Virginia, Kansas State, and Texas Tech to find 8 wins?
I have a lot to say about Baylor this year, Dan.
All right, I'm going
to
sit down.
A lot to say about the Baylor Bears. The most important thing to remember is something you touched on. Matt Rhule is still building this program. He had to basically raise the whole thing and start fresh. So you're still going to read a lot about, you know, trying to find the right starting five, quote unquote, or, you know, depth issues along the defensive front or guys switching positions to find where they might be able to contribute. All that stuff is very much in line with, I think, what you'd expect given the starting point that Matt Rhule had here.
Right.
They're all really young, which is another thing to keep in mind. So temper what I'm about to say accordingly.
Okay.
I think this team is positioned really well to continue improving. You know where I stand on Charlie Brewer at quarterback. Let's start there. Mm-hmm.
Please.
Talked about him a couple weeks ago. Last year, had a 138 QB rating, just 9 interceptions and 390 attempts as a sophomore. I really like him. I really like Denzel Mims out wide. The line is the work in progress.
Mm-hmm.
That's a work in progress.
That's a rough line.
They're still trying to mix and match and find the right combination there. They're going to get better. It's not saying much because they gave up the most sacks in the Big 12 2 years running. But I don't think they can get any worse. I don't think offense is going to be an issue here. I really do think they're going to be fine on offense. Watch out for Treston Ebner in the backfield, junior running back. Chris Platt is back at wide receiver. He's a sixth-year senior. He's going to get some work. And Matt Rhule's really excited about Josh Fleeks out wide. He only had 14 catches as a freshman last year. But they're talking about him as some sort of dynamic playmaker. So just some names.
We should make a list of players that coaches are excited about in July.
They're excited about all the players.
And revisit them, yeah.
All the players. The problem that they need to solve most immediately is playmaking on defense. Because last season, they forced only 10 turnovers all year long. And that's not
nearly good. Which can be random.
It can be random. It relies on luck, no doubt. Mm-hmm. But 10 turnovers in one season is not good enough. Secondly, they allowed 25 touchdowns of 30 or more yards and 18 touchdowns of 40 or more yards, Dan. So it's not just the turnover playmaking. It's just stopping the big plays from happening.
Right.
They got to get better at doing that. I don't know if they rely on their linebacking core to help guide them through that. That's really the one position of depth on that defense, but they got to find some way to solve that riddle because it killed them last year. There was a lot of good on that defense, just a couple plays here and there, a lot of plays here and there that were bad news. The schedule is backloaded big time into November. Mm-hmm. They're at TCU. They've got Oklahoma and Texas all in November. I saw one game-by-game projection that had Baylor at 9-3. That feels a little generous to me.
Okay.
Like, really, really generous to me.
Right.
I think 8-4. 8-4 is realistic. 8-4, if I'm being really optimistic, is where I come down on this team. There is plenty of room to move down on that scale if you so desire. But I'm going to be very optimistic on Baylor this year because I like Charlie Brewer so much. I like Matt Rhule as a football coach so much. 8-4. I'm going to go real optimistic with the Bears.
I know this is a good thing. If this is happening, it speaks well of your coach and his ability. I mean, are you banking on long-term Matt Rhule in Waco?
No.
I mean, is he the Houston Texans coach next year? Is he, you know, the Arizona Cardinals? If Cliffy is a disaster, is he in Washington or Buffalo? Like that, he talked to the Colts reportedly.
He talked to the Colts. It's well known, I think, at this point that Matt Rhule is willing to listen.
Right.
And no,
or perhaps sign an offered contract.
Yeah, I am not at all banking on him long term, but
right.
I think he's a really good football coach and he's done a good job guiding Baylor through this rough patch here. So yeah. Just take that on its face. I like their youth. I like the fact that they play hard. I like the fact that it seems as if they're getting better. And carry that forward now into 2019 that I think could mean 8 wins.
Where do you want to go?
Daniel, I want to talk about the final team on your side here.
Okay.
Let's talk about Oklahoma State.
Yes.
New quarterback this year.
Play the spicy sound, please.
I'm spicy.
Yeah, sometimes you bite into a wing and it's super duper spicy. Sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes you're like, oh, this is interesting flavor, and all, like, they're using a different kind of chili pepper, and there's good crunch to it, and there's like an interesting afterburn. I'm using weird lingo to discuss something that ultimately is going to come back to Oklahoma State football. But sometimes you just bite into something and it's spicy, and you're just like, well, this is just burning. Oklahoma State can go a number of directions this year in terms of spice. They can go in the, oh, damn, Sean Gleason is a revelation for this offense. You know, as good as Mike Yurcich was, which he was excellent. You look at what Mason Rudolph did and Justice Hill and, you know, Junkyard Jim Washington, and all these guys who put up enormous yards and won huge games. I think Sean Gleason offers something a little bit different, and I think there's more creativity. I think there's a little bit of Chris Peterson to him with tempo spread. I think there's that kind of, you know, playing 4D, you call it 4D chess. Is that your
4D? 4D. Do you know how I know that you're excited?
About Oklahoma State? Yeah.
You didn't even let me ask my question.
I know. So
I'm just
going
to press play here. Talk to me about Oklahoma State. I think you're very excited about them, aren't you?
No, I am. Well, I am because I finally sat down and watched some clips of Princeton football where he was the offensive coordinator these past couple of years. And he could bring something really, really interesting to the Big 12. Something pretty, not novel, but wrinkles that would be pretty exciting to watch. So I assume your question is something in the way of what are they going to look like on offense, or what's the impact going to be? Something like that?
New quarterback, new offensive coordinator, new offensive line coach. Yeah. What does all that mean for Oklahoma State? What does it mean for the offense that we know and love and are used to seeing, and how much different, if at all, will it look?
So a recent headline I saw was 2 quarterback system? ? Coaches are saying it's a possibility.
Oh, boy.
And that would be Drew Brown, who set out last year, 5'11". They thought he was going to win the job last year. He's not huge, about 5'11", but the transfer from Hawaii, who's played a lot. And then Spencer Sanders, redshirt freshman, big arm, you know, a big recruit. I really hope it doesn't go in that direction. I really hope they don't go with what I consider to be the equivalent of an open marriage. We're like, this makes sense. Let's see what we got. And then just like in practice, you're like, oh, this is a nightmare. So whoever wins the job is going to have a very good running back next to them, behind them, whatever, in Chuba Hubbard. I think that's autocorrect. My notes corrected Hubbard to Howard.
Sure.
Tylan Wallace, maybe the best receiver. I mean, CeeDee Lamb is, you know, huge. Jalen Reagor. But Tylan Wallace is in the conversation for best receiver. I think he was a Biletnikoff finalist, along with Dylan Stoner. They have a lot of interesting skill. They've recruited receiver very well. The offensive line is experienced, ... but not great. It's one of those things where, like, okay, they can learn from their past mistakes. They have a new offensive line coach. Charlie Dickey comes over from Kansas State. He's a longtime Bill Snyder guy. You know, year after year with this offense at Oklahoma State with Mike Yurcich, they put up a ton of huge plays. I imagine that's going to continue. It seems likely that it'll continue. So what is it going to look like? They're going to spread out. They're going to hunt for mismatches. There's going to be a lot of motion before the snap. They're going to play with pace. There's going to be a lot of red zone creativity. I saw a wild Princeton play from a couple years ago where it was like a jet sweep, fake run, pat, I don't know, whatever it was great. Some real creativity down near the goal line. I think it's going to take some time. I think the verbiage, I think the comfort in the offense is going to take some time to get comfortable, but ultimately I think it's a pretty wise investment. So what's it going to look like at times? Really friggin' fun. Other times, against some of the better defenses in the conference, kind of ugly and off the field pretty quickly. Ultimately, again, I'm very excited about the potential of Sean Gleason in Oklahoma State. This was, you know, we talk about the alley-oop between offense and defense. The defense did an okay job of getting off the field because of their pass rush, but they were awful against the run, Ty.
No.
And if you are going to leave the offense on the sideline because a team is just pumping out 6 yard run after 6 yard run, that's not great. So they need to get a lot better inside on defense. It was the worst rush defense in the Big 12 last year, which was sort of strange because if you remember, they shut down Boise State, Madison Avenue. But they just collapsed. They fully collapsed. The pass rush was fine. The big plays have to go down. Turnover margin has to get better. It can go in so many directions. I'm very excited for this season.
Give me a win total. Give me a take.
All right. The best case for Oklahoma State, they're probably going 9-3. Best case, which is an incredible bounce back year. A quarterback works out. The offense clicks quickly. That's a nice non-conference schedule. Even if the defense is only okay against the run, that's an improvement. Worst case, neither Drew Brown or Spencer Sanders really click in the offense right away. It's inconsistent. The defense is still leaky against the run. 6-6, 7-5 again. So I think there's pretty high variance and in a pretty wide open conference to have, you know, a lot returning, including a gravitational big play receiver in Tylan Wallace. It's a significant leg up.
All right, Dan.
Are you looking forward to this Oklahoma State team?
I probably didn't read as much about Oklahoma State as you did.
Right.
But everything that I read pointed to boom or bust.
Yeah.
To your point, it could go a bunch of different directions. So I have a tremendous amount of confidence in Mike Gundy to assemble the pieces.
Okay.
He'd been very consistent in his time at Oklahoma State. I think he'll find a way to get the job done. But there are a lot of unknowns here.
What does that mean? Unknowns here. Getting the job done. Flirting with double-digit wins?
Getting the job done, yeah. Definitely.
So the losses have to come somewhere. We definitely have one team that we've not talked about that is going to generate a lot of losses.
I believe they're the last one on our list here.
Because we are talking about, I said Kansas State, I had as a worst case scenario about 4-8. That's the absolute bottom to me for Kansas State. The other teams that I've had as not bowl eligible, I think I mentioned 5-7 with West Virginia. Oklahoma State I have as bowl eligible pretty much no matter what. And I, obviously with Oklahoma, I do as well. Who do you have as a worst case of the teams that you have previewed other than Kansas, who we're about to talk about?
Mm-hmm.
Who do you think, you know, ending up going home at the end of or at the beginning of December is a real possibility? Baylor, TCU. Do you think TCU is bottoming out a little bit after the Cheez-It Bowl?
I don't think they're going to bottom out.
Okay,
I have a lot of confidence in TCU. I think
5-7 Texas Tech.
I think 5-7 Texas Tech is a possibility. Okay. I could see things going sideways for Baylor if they get injuries.
Yeah, I mean Matt Wells definitely had a couple of pretty disappointing years, Utah State.
But it's not happening to Texas. I don't think it's happening to TCU.
Okay.
The others, you could make a case for it.
Wide variance.
Absolutely.
Okay. Final team.
Shower your Kansas questions upon me, please.
Okay. I'm not a big believer in Kansas. I don't know if you have the breaking
news sound.
You should
not be a believer.
I don't know if you have it. Okay. If Kansas is able to shock somebody or make you change the channel to, is it the Big 12 on ESPN Plus this year? Who knows? If they're suddenly along the bottom line of Fox Sports or ESPN, you're like, Kansas is up 31-30 with 7 minutes left. Why will that be the case against a Big 12 opponent? What is it about this year's Kansas squad? You're like, well, they're not going to win much.
First off, what was the score you just said?
31-30.
It will never be 31-30 if Kansas is in this game.
Oh my God. That means it's definitely going to be 31-30.
It will never be 31-30. It's going to have to be low scoring. And it's going to have to be against a team that struggles in the front seven. Because the only way that that is possible is, and this, by the way, is the most Les Miles thing possible to say.
Mm-hmm.
The only way that that happens is if they feed the beast that is Puka Williams Jr. a million times. He actually has a fairly experienced line to run behind. Doesn't mean they're great, but he's got some experience in front of him. He's going to get a healthy workload this year. They're going up against some team that has a hard time defending it. Mm-hmm. And Les Miles is able to play ball control offense.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how the game is closely. That's the only way.
Should mention Puka Williams back from a suspension. I missed 6 or 7 months. He's out the first game of the year.
Yes.
It was a domestic battery charge that I think he's in a diversion program.
Yeah, he'll miss the first game.
The way I hear you describing Kansas is when one of those videos goes viral of a senior citizen just nailing jump shots, where they're just hitting 18 footer after 18 footer. Nobody's guarding them.
Right.
You know, everything is set up for a really nice environment. So that's what you're telling me. They're going to have to win a game in the snow going against a fifth string quarterback.
Right.
The conditions are optimal.
Somebody gets hurt. Charlie Brewer gets hurt. It's going to have to be some combination of events that is unfortunate for the opponent. And I think relies a lot on Puka Williams Jr. But that's it, really. That's it. This is not going to be a good Kansas team. The big story in Lawrence is that Les Miles is the new coach.
Mm-hmm.
He's assembled a cast of characters on the coaching staff that aren't exactly hot commodities. Les Koenig, formerly of Duke, Houston, Alabama, Texas A&M, South Alabama, Mississippi State, and UAB.
Okay.
So he's gotten around. And then DJ Elliott on the defensive side of the ball. Kentucky and Colorado wasn't great.
No.
Most recently, but he will be your new defensive coordinator. So, Les Miles is the story. It's great to have him back in college football.
Yeah.
He's going to bring with him a sense of personality and a flair and commentary that only Les Miles can provide. On the football field, I am far less convinced, and I'm curious to see if he can do more than just hand the ball off to Puka Williams.
You know, I mean, you've purchased a TV in recent years, right?
I have.
What's that? What's a huge selling point for new TVs? Like, what is something about the picture that people are really looking for, especially like cinephiles, people super into movies?
You need to get, I don't know if they're up to 8K now, but
sure,
at a minimum,
that's the resolution.
At a minimum, you need to get a 4K TV if you're looking to go new.
What is it about color that's crucial?
You're asking somebody who's colorblind here. But
yeah, but you want deep black, right?
You want the deep black. That's why I went with an OLED.
Right. You went with an OLED because it has that deep black. And so if you set that black tone at a certain depth, then everything really pops, right?
That's right, yeah.
I think this applies to Les Miles' hair coloring.
Mm.
I think the deeper and richer the color he goes with, I think if he can get to that, there's certain paints that are like the darkest black possible. I think if he can get that involved in his look by 2020,
okay,
they can go to a bowl game. The darker his hair, the better Kansas football
is. You're talking about emo Les Miles here is what I think I'm hearing.
I'm not saying for a goth reason. I'm not saying for the full like dark look.
No? Okay.
I'm just saying his hair color has varied so much over the years.
Right.
You had like a sandy copper era. It's darker than ever now, which I love. I think he has to go even darker. Kansas has to go full OLED.
We're also in the era of Les Miles wearing that pancake makeup in the old Capital One commercials. Was it Capital One?
Sure. I have no idea.
I don't remember what that commercial series was for.
Yeah.
But the pancake makeup was a bit ominous.
Puka Williams, OLED depth. For Les Miles. Yeah, I mean, this is going to take a while. If Les Miles is more about improving Kansas, fully, getting back to how much he was respected for a time at LSU as a really good coach, he's not going to be able to recruit like he was at LSU. He's not going to be on the stage like he was at LSU. But if he is the guy to keep hiring and keep recruiting and build the talent level up, take advantage of some uncertainty if, things go sideways for West Virginia and Texas Tech and Oklahoma State and Kansas State, whoever, if he's there building a solid program, if he can get them to wherever Kansas State was averaging at, I know that sounds like insulting for Kansas fans, or probably Kansas State fans, if he can get them to that, if he can get them to 7 wins a year, my God, heroic.
don't think it's going to happen, Dan. Don't get
it's going to be a while.
Don't get
it's going to be a while. I just, let I don't me, think he's the guy.
Let me close out with this, okay?
Okay.
I'm going to put together a hypothetical proposition bet for you. You get either Oklahoma or the group of Texas, Oklahoma State, and Iowa State to win the Big 12 in 2019. Which side of that bet are you taking?
I mean, you're essentially giving me Oklahoma the field, right?
Essentially.
Yeah, I'm taking the field. For sure. There are more ways for things to go wrong. There are more ways for things to go wrong with a single school than there are for everybody else all screwing up, to me.
All right.
You're giving me odds. I mean, you're just, the odds are that with 10 teams and teams that Oklahoma has lost to recently in Texas and Iowa State. Yeah. I'm going to,
Dan's like, look,
struggled with at times.
Sure. I've got a homemade spreadsheet where I calculate points per drive.
Yeah.
I am playing the probability of this.
Yeah. Right. And you know how I feel about Brock Purdy. Dwayne the Brock Johnson? Yeah.
I know. It's okay. Really.
Ty, just go on YouTube. Type in B-R-O-C-K-P-U-R-D-Y. And you will fall in love.
Just Purdy like a Brock star. You know how it is.
He's America's sweetheart.
All right. Well, as always, write in solidverbal@gmail.com or anywhere on social media. Go comment about the show out on the subreddit, reddit.com/r/solidverbal. Let us know what we got right, what we got wrong, where you agree, disagree. It all goes with the territory, but we are now officially in preview mode. Our next episode is going to drop on Sunday. We will be talking about the Pac-12. Dan's got the North, obviously. I've got the South. We are going to continue attacking every conference in this fashion. And by the way, for those of you who have asked the important question, why wasn't Notre Dame part of the ACC? That's my fault. We're going to lump them in with their geographic peers that are in the Big Ten.
Mac. Oh, what? What? I also want to do some G5 stuff as we get closer to the season.
We'll do G5 too. We have to.
Yeah, we'll do some G5 stuff too.
Yep.
Who's in the, because you asked me about champion, Oklahoma versus the field. Who's in the championship game to you?
I think it's Oklahoma, Texas.
Oklahoma, Texas.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the easy answer, but I think that's the right answer.
Oklahoma, Iowa State.
Could happen.
And that's not great because there's a good chance, you know, Iowa State, if they're in that game, they go in, you know, maybe they lose to Iowa and they're 9-3. And all of a sudden you have a 10-3 Big 12 champion and whoop, no playoff.
Mm.
Oh, well.
Don't forget, if you haven't already gotten tickets to the show that we're doing in Dallas, solidverbaltickets.com/Texas.
We're going to have to start editing our bank of fantasy
yes,
things.
Yes, we options. Do. I need to start adding to it as well.
Please do.
We've also got a live show in D.C. Mm-hmm. solidverbaltickets.com/D.C. August the 17th, August the 18th. We are planning. Emails are flying back and forth, not just between you and I, but also with the venues,
true.
With people going to the shows.
Yeah.
We're going to bring our boy Taylor along with us to both places.
Mm-hmm.
Going to be an extravaganza, get you ready for college football season in the funnest way we know possible.
With it is tenders.
With tenders and with our fantasy things.
Yes.
All right.
That's all I got.
That's all I got as well. Thank you for bearing with us here as we talked about all things Big 12. We will be back on Sunday. In the meantime, enjoy the rest of your week. Enjoy the beginning part of your weekend. And until next time, stay solid.
Peace.